Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Good morning, everyone. So the first of the readings is from Deuteronomy, and it's chapter 6, verses 1 to 12, and it's found on page 186 in the Bibles that you'll find in the pews. Love the Lord your God. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from the New Testament, Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 21. Peter addresses the crowd. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Thanks be to God.
Good. Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you all. If we haven't met, my name is John. I'm the vicar here. And I would love you, as we begin, to think for a moment about the person who brought you to Christ. Imagine that person for a moment, or at least someone who's had a really significant spiritual influence on you. Maybe a teacher, maybe a parent, youth club leader, friend. Doesn't matter which, if it's lots of people you're thinking of, just choose one of them. Okay, kind of zero in on them. And then for a moment, I'd like you to think back to the way that they shared their faith with you. Perhaps you can think back to a particular conversation or an example they gave. And then while you're thinking about that person, I want you to, now you may be able to do this on the basis of information, or you may kind of have to guess. I want you to zoom out so that you see not just that person, but I want you to zoom out and see the person behind them, the person who shared their faith with them. Okay, and then while you can see it, I want you in your mind's eye to zoom out even further and begin to see the web of connections, generations, stretching back over time all the way to Calvary. Okay, now keep that picture in your mind. This is how the Lord works. The Lord works from generation to generation. When I think of the people that influenced me, I think of many people. I often think of my grandfather. I remembered him at my confirmation. I was 16 years old. I was at boarding school at the time, and my parents had come for the Sunday. They came for the service. And then they took me out to lunch. They brought my granddad along as well, too. We had our lunch. And at the end of lunch, he pulled out a little green binder in which he'd written a short talk to encourage me in my walk with Christ. And everyone had to be quiet and we had to listen to granddad's talk. And then when he'd finished, he handed the binder to me. Now, with respect to my grandfather, I cannot remember anything that he said. I'm not sure I even grasped it at the time. But what I do remember with crystal clarity is his very careful insistence. He was not going to let this go to chance. He had a message to pass on. He wanted to pass on the baton, and he was going to do it carefully and deliberately. Years later, when I went into ministry, after he died, his wife gave me this, which was his Bible. And I found this out yesterday. On the inside cover, it says some verses for your ordination, 1947. And here are four different Bible verses that were given to him by different people who'd had a great impact on his life. And the first one says, Vater, which if you're German, you'll know means father. And here is the verse from his dad. And you may know it's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Such a powerful picture of the baton being passed on from one generation to another. Today, as Natasha was saying earlier, we come on to the fourth point in our vision. At Emmanuel, we seek to be a place of unconditional welcome, Christ-centered revival, and deep discipleship. And here we go, this is today, in this generation and the next. In this generation and the next. And those words captured, in many ways, the passion that so many people in our church have, the vision they have to reach our children and young people with the gospel. And this is something we desperately need today. 38% of all Church of England churches have no children in attendance on a Sunday. That number of kids that we just saw here was just so encouraging, wasn't it? 1 in 100 churches have that number of kids in them in our nation. Very, very few. And the decline in attendance amongst young people is massive. So 2015 to 2020, there was a 12% decline in attendance in the Church of England in general. 20% decline if you are under 16. We need to focus on this as a church. But how is the vision going to take shape? If we feel the urge, how will we move forward? Well, the scriptures that we've read, hopefully, are going to give us a bit of a challenge, but also just a wonderfully hopeful picture of how the Lord might do this work. I've got 3 points to share with you. First of all, God is the God of this generation and the next. Second, talk Jesus from this generation to the next. And third, look for Jesus in this generation and the next. Okay, so first of all, God is the God of this generation and the next. Now, you're going to be really helped if you can get an eye on Deuteronomy 6. Addy mentioned it earlier. We just had it read. It's in the Bibles in the pews in front of you, or you might have a device. Do turn up to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And while you're finding it, let me remind you what's happened here. The people of God have escaped from Egypt. They are in the desert. Moses, surely a graybeard by now, has got everyone together. And he's preparing them for their future in the promised land. He's just reminded them of the Ten Commandments. And then he says this to the people. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. He says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life." Did you hear that language? You, your children, and their children after them. God is the God of this generation and the next. Those are God's horizons. As our vision was taking shape, there was lots that people were saying about our ministry to children and young people. You'll notice our vision doesn't have the words children or young people in it, because we wanted to avoid any sense that we, or indeed God, has some kind of preference for kids or for families or anything else like that. We chose this generation and the next because we wanted to make the point, very simply, that God and we care for everyone. And everyone includes our generational neighbors. If you get that phrase. Our generational neighbors are the people close to us, but who are in a different generation. So we are deeply concerned for our children and young people. But we are deeply concerned for them principally because every single one of us either is a young person or was one once. And look around you, that is actually true. Would you believe it? Everyone in here. The church of tomorrow, of course, is the children of today. And so God must be the God of this generation and the next. But God isn't just the God of each generation separately. Let's think of some other kind of multi-generational establishments in our culture. Marks and Spencer's, for example. Now, how does it work in Marks and Spencer's? Well, Marks and Spencer's has many departments, right? You have the women's department, you have the men's department, you have the boys' department, the kids' department. That is not the picture of the scriptures. God is not a multi-generational God. He is an intergenerational God. He sees one generation woven together with the life of another. Together, as one, they follow him. And that brings us to our next point. Talk Jesus from this generation to the next. If we could have the next slide there, Jono. Talk Jesus from this generation to the next. We're going to read on from chapter 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them." Now, if you're sharp, you'll notice that my point on the screen says, talk Jesus. Of course, Moses didn't strictly talk Jesus. That was 1,000 years and some down the line. But Moses did have a very similar message. He had a message of rescue and of transformation. He looked back to the Exodus, where God had rescued the people from slavery. And in the same way, we look back to the cross, where we say it is finished, our rescue from slavery to sin, and transformation. Moses had the commands that were to reshape Israel's life, make them different from the people around them. And so we are called to follow in Jesus' footsteps and be like him. And so the first aspect of this talking Jesus, I think, jumps out here as the need to receive the Lord ourselves. Receive the Lord yourself. Moses says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. So before he says, share them with your kids, he says, they've got to be on your hearts. The Theos think tank did a piece of research recently called Passing on Faith. And they came up with four things that were kind of essential for passing on faith. One of the four was that young people who keep going as Christians are largely the product of caring, supportive, stable homes where faith is seen, heard, and experienced. Seen, heard, and experienced. Now, all of us know, you know, your house may be like that, and actually your kids may walk from the Lord. And, you know, this is not science in that sense. You cannot predict the future. But that is a great start. And yet, I have a fascinating conversation that recurs regularly in my ministry. Parents come to me and they want their kids baptized, and I usually ask why. And from time to time, they say, well, look, I'm not very religious myself, but I would really like my kids to have, you know, a good foundation. And I have to say to them at that point, look, when it comes to Jesus, you cannot pass on what you have not received yourself. You cannot pass on what you have not received yourself. One of the best ways of caring for the next generation is to impress God's law on our hearts. Next, talk Jesus all the time and in all of life. So receive the Lord for yourself. Next, talk Jesus all the time and in all of life. Verse 7 goes on, and this is a lovely picture, isn't it? See if you can work out which particular parts of life are excluded from talking about God. Verse 7, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. One of my favorite stories from my time as a school teacher. I was assistant to the chaplaincy, and I was also a rowing coach in a boys' school. The boys loved their sport, and they were always at their happiest and most relaxed when they were out on the river in the afternoons. And one week I had preached in the chapel on the Sunday morning, and a few days later we were out. I was coaching on the river. I had a little motorboat. They were in their rowing eight. And it was glorious weather. Everyone had long since forgotten calculus or whatever we'd been doing that morning. And we were just turning the boat around by one of the locks, about as far away from the school campus as we could get. And one of the crew put his hand up, Henry. He said, sir, about what you said in chapel on Sunday. And there and then, sitting on the river, the nine of us, and me, we spoke about the Lord. If you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, if you're an auntie, you don't need to wait for a particular time or place. In fact, often the key thing is to go after every time and every place. Not just Sundays after church, although, yeah, do ask them what they learned this morning. Not just when you know, are with them at the end of the day saying their prayers. Talk Jesus all the time and in all of life. So when you see a beautiful sunset, ask your grandchild if they think that God has a favorite color. when they've fallen out with a friend, talk to them about how you have a friend who never grows cold on you. When your life is falling apart and it's hard, don't just pray for them to have a nice day at school tomorrow. Pray with them about yourself and your own needs so that they hear mum and dad or granny and grandpa or auntie or their godparent or whoever you are bringing their whole life to the Lord. Talk Jesus all the time and in all of life. I often come back to these verses, and it's interesting that Addy as well has, from somewhere, he's got Deuteronomy 6 sort of implanted in his mind. There's so much in here. They remind us, first of all, that church is important. It takes a village to raise a child. It takes a church to raise a Christian. Moses gathers the whole people. They remind us that family is important. Talking to Jesus is the responsibility of parents, even before anyone else, not youth leaders, although they also do that. They give a glimpse of creativity involved. I mean, I love the writing, you know, the commands on the door frame. I wonder what equivalent you have of that in your world. They show the importance of open conversation. Well, we didn't quite get to it, but verse 20, Deuteronomy 6, has this lovely bit. It says, in the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? And Moses gives his instructions. He says, tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Love this idea that Moses imagines. The kids are going to go, hey, what is this about? Why? And we want to say, that's a great question. Let me tell you about it. Let me tell you about the Lord who saved us. There's so much more we could say, but we must move on. So, we must move on because I think, actually, the biggest obstacle for us is not so much knowing how we can talk Jesus as believing in what is going to happen afterwards in our children. So, my third point is, look for Jesus in this generation and the next. Look for Jesus in this generation and the next. Let me replay again those words from Acts chapter 2. They're actually a prophecy from the prophet Joel. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. You probably know this moment, it's a very famous moment in the earliest days of the church. Peter is explaining what is happening as the gospel spreads. And we notice that God is in the business of pouring his spirit out on everyone. And pouring his spirit. Make no mistake, this is a vision of a generous God. A vision that includes our kids prophesying. Our children speaking the word of God boldly. Of visions, of dreams. Now I have to say, as I read those words, and listen, if I'm only speaking to myself here, you're going to have to be patient with me. But if I'm, you know, if the shoe fits, you listen as well. I think as a generation of Christians, we have spectacularly low aspirations for our children. And the particularly striking thing is that we have such unbelievably high aspirations in every other domain. Our kids today are under, they've never been under higher pressure to have academic achievement, sporting achievement, you know, all sorts of cultural music, whatever achievement. I was listening, as I was writing this sermon, I was listening to my daughter hammer out her scales, significantly better than I could ever hammer them out at her age. She can play in front of a crowd. But do I long for her to preach in front of a crowd? Do we imagine our children leading a friend at school in prayer? I mean, is that even an aspiration that we have? Do we think about equipping our kids to lead someone that they know just on the side of the road or someone somewhere to Christ? Those are the kind of aspirations. Now, why is it that we don't have such high aspirations for our kids, or some of us, myself included? I think we don't want to be too demanding. Rightly, we don't want to pressure our kids into faith, because we know that doesn't generate the right kind of faith anyway. We know they're in a hostile world in many ways, where people are going to look at them askance and say, what's all this about? And we recognize that's hard. We want to give them space. And all of that is good. But in the process, perhaps we reduce our spiritual aspirations, our hopes for the next generation. But the implication of these verses in Acts is there is massive spiritual potential in the next generation. Potential not just to sit next door and listen to some Bible stories, but actually to be part of the spiritual engine of our life together. And actually, this is an immensely encouraging counterpoint, I think, to what we read in Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6 is challenging, right? We've got to pass on the baton. But also, God is in the business of pouring out his Spirit. He is pouring out his Spirit in stable, God-fearing families. And actually, he's pouring out his Spirit all over the place. In our families, when we make a complete mess as a parent and just think, oh, there's no way they're going to walk with Jesus after I just did that. Or even in families that are a long, long way away from us, where the gospel is scarcely heard, the Lord is pouring out his Spirit. His Spirit is powerful to reach well past our mistakes, well past our networks. I will never forget a trip that Emily and I did in... we went to a sort of community transformation project in Kenya, and they did a summer camp there each year. And this one year, one kid had come to Christ. It was 6 or 7. And he went home to his mum, who wasn't a believer, and he started praying. And she said, you know, what are you doing? And he said, well, mum, you need to get to know Jesus, and you need to pray. She had a bit of a think about this. She said, oh, yeah, I probably do. And so she started praying with him. This little six-year-old had basically led his mum to Christ. And ever since I heard that story, I have thought, what aspirations do I have for my kids? God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Let's look for Jesus in this generation and the next. Well, as we wrap up, where does that leave us? Well, I think we need no convincing. This is the heartbeat of our church already. This week, we took our ministry team away, leadership team as well, for a couple of days of retreat, learning and planning. And one of the great encouragements was to look at all the cards that you guys filled in last week. They were full of just fantastic encouragements. Lots of people saying, I'm on board with a vision. You know, I want to know what God wants me to do next. I want to get back into regular Bible readings. I want to pass on to another what I've learnt. But this one has stuck with me. I'm learning more about Jesus, and I want my kids to know more about him too. This is already in the heartbeat of our church. How can we make that go deeper and further into the place where God has put us? Well, perhaps today you've been stirred. First of all, perhaps you've been stirred just to receive Christ personally, to receive the Lord for yourself so that you have something to give on. Perhaps you've been fired up with a new calling as a grandparent or a parent, and you want to interact with the next generation. You want to be part of weaving your life into the life of the next one. Now, some of us can bounce around on you know, Friday rocks on a Friday evening. Not all of us can do that. We can all pray. We can all support parents. You can message a parent. You can hook up with someone and say, look, this is hard, raising kids. I remember 25 years ago, I'm going to send you a WhatsApp every week to just encourage you. Keep going. I'm praying for you. There are so many ways in which we can affect the next generation. And perhaps even the Lord is igniting someone here or a few more to serve the next generation more formally. Perhaps you want to be a teacher. Perhaps you want to be a youth leader. Perhaps it's time to get equipped in a particular way to reach the next generation. But above all, I hope that we find today an ongoing and ever deeper sense of dependence. Where our youth are going, where our kids are going, we are full of hope. We're also full of nerves, I'm sure. I say that as a parent. What will happen tomorrow? And we know that our own failings are great, but we trust the Lord who will pour out his Spirit and look to him for our hope. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of this generation and the next. Thank you that you have spoken into our lives. Lord, I pray that you would enable us to talk Jesus from one generation to the next and to look for him alive and pushing the church forward in the next generation too. And we pray this because we depend and hope in you, our great and mighty God. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.